This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I promise you, lots of content this week. Thanks to Parker Fleming for stepping in yesterday as we went inside the numbers on Thursday. Matt Eumanns, Wes Reynolds, and myself, Tim Murray, will do a live podcast from the D. And well, you can hear that on this feed as well. You could check out all our socials at VSiN Live on X and then youtube.com/VSiN Live. But of course, our weekly staple here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, the one and only Adam Burke. Adam, just like we predicted preseason, my favorite team, Notre Dame, your favorite team, Ohio State. No bumps along the way whatsoever. Notre Dame totally didn't lose as a 28-point favorite to Northern Illinois in week two, and Ohio State didn't lose to their hated rival, that team up north, as a 19.5-point favorite. None of that happened, and here we are. Everything easy sailing into the national championship game.
Yeah, well, this should be fun, right? Our two teams in the national championship game here. It won't be any bias on this show at all whatsoever because – damn it, Tim, we're professionals.
Well, both of us probably are incredibly pessimistic about our teams, so.
Well, Ohio State should win this football game, right? Like, objectively speaking, they are an 8.5-point favorite. Like, based on what we've seen throughout the college football playoff, I realize Ohio State had problems with Texas, and I mean, that should have been a 21-21 game, and, you know, we'll see if Ohio State scores on that last possession or, you know, if they miss a field goal, which probably would have been the case, then they would have gone to overtime. But, I mean, they blew out Tennessee and Oregon, you know, and then struggled a bit with Texas, as, you know, we'll talk about throughout today's show. But, I mean, I think we got to give Notre Dame some credit, too. I mean, I badmouthed Indiana all season long, understandably so. I mean, they really weren't that good of a team, in my opinion.
By the way, I caught some strays from your badmouthing. I have never badmouthed Indiana. I badmouthed Kirk Cignetti on the College Football Tailgate show the Saturday after the Notre Dame game because he talked all that shit and didn't back it up. Indiana, in my opinion, deserved to be in the playoff. All right, I digress. Back to you.
Yeah, I just Googled Kurt Cignetti and he lost to both of these teams. So, look, you know, I think we gotta give Notre Dame a lot of credit, right? Like, the offense has been not great. Agreed. Right? Riley Leonard has not been good throwing the football. They don't have a go-to wide receiver. And they found ways to beat Georgia. Of course, they had the gift right before halftime, then the big kick return. But then outlasting Penn State, a game where it looked like they were in serious trouble throughout the first quarter of that game. And then find a way to get it done. And, of course, my God, what a disgusting ending if you had the under in that game.
I did too.
I give them so much credit, man. Like, I don't know how great of a team Notre Dame is, but they do the little things at the college football level that a lot of other programs don't do. Marcus Freeman's really grown up a ton throughout the course of this season. I got to give props to your program, man. It's been a really, I know people want to badmouth the regular season schedule and all that. It has been a damn impressive season for Notre Dame.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to think, and it's funny. I think I saw the athletic director from Northern Illinois talking to, I believe it was Matt Fortuna at the Inside Zone, saying, us beating Notre Dame is the best thing that ever happened to Northern Illinois, not because they beat Notre Dame, but every week it gets brought up everywhere. It's this team lost to Northern Illinois. Oh, yeah, but they lost to Northern Illinois. And I actually did their bowl game out in Idaho, and I was talking to their play-by-play broadcaster, and he said the same thing. He's like, we, Northern Illinois, that is, have become relevant because Notre Dame got hot after Northern Illinois went to South Bend and won that game. And look, if you had talked to me, and we'd have to unearth the tapes, I don't think I was very optimistic, and not many people were, that Notre Dame would bounce back. I anticipated a loss at some point after the Northern Illinois loss. I thought maybe it would be Georgia Tech if Haynes King had played. He did not play in that game. You know, maybe it would have been USC. That was a battle until you get the late pick sixes from Notre Dame. But yeah, I give Marcus Freeman and this staff a ton of credit. I think coaching-wise, they've done a phenomenal job. They've done the little things right. We talked about it following the Georgia game. +2 in the turnover margin, scored a touchdown on special teams. They were outgained in that contest. And look, I was down at the Orange Bowl last Thursday night, and when Penn State, Adam, had that 90, I think it was a 90-yard drive that lasted just under a hair of 8 minutes, I was thinking about, all right, you know, hell of a year. They won the Sugar Bowl, won two games in the playoff, but they're just being out-physicaled right now. And to get a little bit of a spark when Riley Leonard goes down from Steve Angeli, and I don't really know how they turned the whole game around there in the second half, especially after Riley Leonard threw that interception, a couple penalties in the end zone didn't go Notre Dame's way, but the resiliency from this team has been incredible. The defense is really good, but as we dive into the X's and O's on this particular game, it's hard to see the conventional path for the Irish outside of getting something going their way on special teams, maybe trying to, and I'm joking, but I'm also kind of serious. Like, can we get Lou Holtz to say what he said again? Because I feel like the only way we can get Ryan Day to fall into let's just run the football is for him to think that they need to prove that they're a physical, tough team. Because when they threw the football, which they did incredibly well against Tennessee, against Oregon, and then again against Texas, that's the path. Notre Dame needs to hoodwink this team into saying, we're going to out-physical you. Because at the end of the day, right, when you've got Jeremiah Smith, when you've got Emeka Egbuka, Carnell Tate would be the best wide receiver on Notre Dame's roster, and he's the number three for Ohio State. They've got so many weapons to throw to. Not that Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins are bums. They're really, really talented. And you saw it, how well they can catch the football out of the backfield. But it's hard. I'm not saying it's impossible. This isn't, you know, the opener in 2022 when Notre Dame was a 17-point dog. They're an 8-point dog. We saw double-digit dogs win every single week, Adam, throughout the college football season. But the conventional path for Notre Dame to win this game, I don't know what it is. There's no, in my opinion, easy way for them to win it. I think it has to get a little clunky, turnovers, special teams, all of that. Is it possible? Of course it's possible, but it certainly will be a challenge. The more talented team heading into this game, no doubt, is Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, at the skill positions, Ohio State is dramatically better than Notre Dame. And that's even if Jeremiah Love was healthy. You know, they're still just dramatically better at the skill positions, and they're better at the quarterback position too, just simply because Will Howard can, you know, throw the ball down the field a little bit more than Riley Leonard can. I think the biggest issue here for Notre Dame is that Ohio State has Caleb Downs, who I know everybody loves Jeremiah Smith, and understandably so. Kid is an incredible player. Caleb Downs, in my opinion, is the best NFL player on the field in every single game that he has played for Ohio State, and maybe even for Alabama too. So that's a guy with his closing speed. And I know we're all going to beat up Steve Sarkisian, and the toss play was the stupidest fucking thing in the world on second and one there, or second and goal, basically. But Caleb Downs, his closing speed is outrageously good. His instincts for the football are just incredible. And so when you have a player like that, who's capable of spying Riley Leonard in this game, because you don't have to worry about anybody in the pass game, right? There's nobody that you have to really worry about that you can't cover one-on-one if you're Jim Knowles. So I think Caleb Downs' responsibility in this game is going to be Riley Leonard. Make sure he doesn't get a 32-yard run like he had against Georgia. Make sure he's not able to take a second and eight and make it a third and two or a third and three. That, I think, is going to be Caleb Downs' assignment in this game. And with that in mind, such a sure open field tackler, again, that downhill speed that he has coming to the ball carrier, I think that's a really big problem for Notre Dame. So I don't know how you really counteract that if you're the Fighting Irish, right? Because Downs is going to sniff out any quarterback design run, right? Maybe you get a situation where, you know, Leonard can extend some plays, coverage kind of breaks down a little bit, you get some of those big completions, stuff like that. But I just, you know, I don't see him being able to be as effective as a ball carrier in terms of taking first down and making it second and manageable, taking second down and making it third and short, all those types of things that Notre Dame has by and large done, not only in the playoff, but throughout the course of the season. I don't know that they have that in the tool bag here. And I think it's something that Knowles is really going to harp on. So maybe they've got to try taking some shots downfield early in the game, see what happens. I mean, Denzel Burke got benched in the game against Texas, where, you know, that was a pretty interesting change with Jermaine Matthews taking the bulk of the snaps there in the second half for the Buckeyes. Maybe you try to do that, but I don't even know how successful that is. So I don't think this is a game where I think Ohio State covers the spread. I think it's a game where Notre Dame fails to cover the spread because they simply can't score enough. Now, if there are special teams plays and all that, and this is the reason why I won't take Ohio State -8.5, I think there could be something there. And I'll talk more about Ohio State against this Notre Dame defense after you rebut. But that's why I like the under 46.5. I don't think Notre Dame, I don't think Notre Dame gets in the 20s here. I don't see a path to them doing that.
Yeah, when you look at the team totals that are out there, 18.5. I saw that Westgate Superbook had a 19.5 out there. It is going to be a challenge for Notre Dame to score. And when you look at what they've done so far in the playoff, Indiana, they were able to get the explosive play from Jeremiah Love. They had a long, sustained drive that some people seem to forget about there in the second half. And they just kind of bled the game out against a team that they were more talented than and physically stronger than. They led 27-3. Don't let the score fool you. That was a dominant performance from Notre Dame. Talked about the Georgia game. You get the fumble from Gunnar Stockton there. You get the kickoff return for a touchdown. Those were massive plays for the Irish. And then, you know, the second half, I'll be honest, I was pretty stunned. I think the second half line was Notre Dame in game. It was Notre Dame +7.5. They were down 7 at halftime. They had the explosive play from Jaden Greathouse where he was able to make his man fall the corner and then juked another guy there in the secondary. Do I expect to play like that? No, not necessarily. I think where Notre Dame has to get creative. And I talked about this going into the Indiana game, and I thought that Mitchell Evans, the tight end, would be utilized more. And then when I was talking to some media members down at the Penn State game, I thought last Thursday was going to be a big Mitchell Evans day. And early on, Notre Dame targeted their tight end, and he ended up with 5 catches for 58 yards. And I think for this game, Adam, Notre Dame has to get very creative. Look, during the regular season, as it wore on, Notre Dame was the more talented and more, you know, physically gifted team every which way against basically all of their opponents. Maybe USC had some guys certainly out wide that you saw some issues. Here in the playoff, it's a little bit different with Georgia, Penn State, now Ohio State. So you got to get creative. We know how good Jeremiah Love is. That knee's still going to be an issue. But I thought Aeneas Williams, the running back out of the backfield, he had the big play on their opening drive of the second half, the 36-yard wheel route. I think they're going to have to get him involved. I think Jaden Greathouse, again, coming off his 100-yard performance against Penn State, he's going to have to get involved as well. And I think Mitchell Evans, when you look back at last year against Ohio State, the most impactful pass catcher in that game was Mitchell Evans. He had 7 catches for 75 yards against Ohio State a year ago. And then a couple weeks later, Adam, he went out and tore his ACL against Pittsburgh. He has not been 100%. I think Mitchell Evans is a guy that will be heavily involved in this game. So, you know, the prop is a little bit juiced up for Mitchell Evans, certainly, but I think he's a guy that will be involved a decent amount in the pass game for Notre Dame, trying to get some sort of mismatch out there. Getting to the Ohio State offense here.
Let me mention this real quick. You mentioned the wheel route, right? We saw Ohio State get burned on the Jaden Blue wheel route. I think that Notre Dame needs to be creative with screens, wide receiver screens, running back screens. You know, the wheel route's definitely not a bad idea either. You know, kind of play Ohio State's defensive aggression against them a little bit. You know, they've been the level at which they've flown to the football here in the playoff is unlike anything I feel like I've seen in a very long time from this Ohio State defense. At the same time, if you can, you know, kind of execute some of those screens, block them well, stuff like that, you know, a little bit of pre-snap motion, then get into a wheel route, you know, something like that, you can kind of get them lost in space a little bit. So I think maybe that is the goal here for Notre Dame. And also, I mean, you know, those are not tough throws for Riley Leonard. Right. You know, Riley Leonard is not the guy with the arm to put the ball into a tight window or anything like that. Right. If you can get the ball out quick, neutralize that pass rush with the front four, get some of these guys in one-on-one out in space, make them make a tackle. I think that's going to be the best course of action for Notre Dame here in this game. Now, if I find that they're having success with that early on in this one, maybe I buy off of my under position with something live, because I don't know that Notre Dame is capable of that. But if I see them being capable of that, then I think that really changes the complexion of this football game.
By the way, look over at FanDuel, and there's going to be a bunch more props. You know, college football props obviously are not something that are widely available during the regular season, but because this is the national championship game, there's a bunch of different angles to look at. So before we hit a break here, because I do want to talk Notre Dame and their defense against Ohio State, looking at some kind of unique props. Notre Dame first drive player to catch a pass. Mitchell Evans is 2-1. Does Notre Dame try to get their tight end involved rather quickly? They like to do kind of those pop passes. So once again, I'm not saying go full unit, max it out, whatever, but could a 2-1 ticket on Mitchell Evans to catch a pass on Notre Dame's first drive be a look? Yeah, I think it's kind of an interesting, fun little prop to look at. But looking at the wide receiver over-unders, we'll do Notre Dame, we'll take a break, and then we'll look at Ohio State. Mitchell Evans over-under is 33.5. Jordan Faison, 38.5. Jaden Greathouse is 20.5. Of course, he just had the 7-catch, 105-yard performance. This is pretty wild to me, Adam. Aeneas Williams, the third-string running back, who is their third-down back, so he gets to play a lot. Over-under 25.5 receiving yards for Aeneas Williams. He's coming off of that really impressive performance we just saw against Penn State, but man, that is that's quite the number for Aeneas Williams to be garnering. He had in the game against Penn State, he had, I believe, five catches for 66 yards. Outside of that, he eclipsed 25.5 receiving yards just two other times this year. Florida State, he had a 28-yard reception, and then UVA, 35-yard reception. But I think the reason it's so high is because of what we saw from Texas and them incorporating their running backs in the pass game, and then what we just saw against Penn State, which was the success that Notre Dame had through the air, seemed to be getting some short passes and some safer passes out to tight ends and slot receivers and running backs.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of things here. The first is, I mean, I would be curious to know what these numbers opened at. I mean, admittedly, being out here in Las Vegas, I don't look at FanDuel numbers. Certainly, I keep, you know, looking at DraftKings. I mean, it's kind of habit since, you know, they used to own VSiN. Sure. But, you know, I don't really look at the FanDuel numbers much. So I am pretty curious, you know, kind of where these opened and, you know, what some of the initial action has looked like on some of these props. The other thing is, you know, we were talking about this off air before we started recording here. Jadarian Price has virtually been a no-show in the playoff. And I think it's surprising given the knee injury for Jeremiah Love, right? And the fact that Price, you know, had a pretty good tail end of the regular season, but he's been completely non-existent here. And, you know, I think when you look at those Aeneas Williams numbers and you kind of contemplate his usage a little bit here throughout the course, you know, of the playoff and specifically in that last game against Penn State, you can see why. You know, some of these numbers are, I don't want to call them inflated because maybe they're not, but you can see why these numbers are reflective of what we've seen here recently, where people are kind of picking up on this trend of, you know, Jeremiah Love is probably going to get his 10-ish carries, whatever his workload can handle. And Price is losing ground here to Williams, where it's not about NIL money. It's not about feelings. It's not about keeping guys around or anything like that. Now, it's about winning the football game. And so if Notre Dame thinks that Williams is a better option than Price, and certainly a better receiving option than Love, given that you have to ask him to run a route and then run with the football, I think it makes sense. And especially because, as I mentioned, that was a weakness of Ohio State's defense in the most recent data point that we have.
Yeah, Jadarian Price, by the way, over-under is 23.5, which you would look at and say that's pretty low, considering he basically went over that in all but three games this year. But to your point, I would push back. I thought he played well against Georgia. I thought he had some bigger runs late in that game, even though they didn't, you know, rack up a ton of yards. But I was pretty disappointed. I thought he was hesitant hitting the hole. That's kind of been his drawback, so to speak. I thought he played exceptionally well in the regular season finale, Jadarian Price against USC, having his only 100-yard performance. But against Penn State, you could see that the coaching staff kind of went away from him. And now, knowing this is the last game of the year, knowing that Aeneas Williams had the game that he just had against Penn State, I could be interested in under 23.5 rushing yards, especially if you don't, and you could speak to this better than I can. Look, if you don't hit that hole against Ohio State, you ain't going nowhere. And when you've got a tenacious front like they do, I think Jadarian Price under 23.5 rushing yards could actually be a look here, because I expect Jeremiah Love. Look, if he had, what did he finish with, like 11 carries against Penn State? You know, yeah, we had the under on this podcast. We also had some matchups that didn't come home. The under did thankfully come home, at least if you got it early on. But I was surprised how much we saw from Jeremiah Love. And now we're going to get, what, 11 days for him to rest up that knee? Knowing what we know and knowing what we've heard, that dude's not going to want to leave the field on Monday night against Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, one thing that I thought it was a really salient point that Jeff Schwartz brought up when I did a hit on Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni on Tuesday is looking at Riley Leonard rush attempts, because not only do we know that he's a guy that, you know, they do use a lot in that capacity, but also in college football, sacks count towards rushing totals. So this Ohio State defense, which has been absurd here throughout the course of the playoff, particularly in terms of getting after the quarterback, they had what was it, 9 sacks against Dylan Gabriel. They had 4 more against Quinn Ewers. Certainly they got after Nico Iamaleava as well in the first one. You know, sacks are going to count. And so, you know, Leonard with the 18 rush attempts in that game against Penn State, 3 of them were sacks. So that's a guy, I know 14.5 is a big number for a quarterback, but again, I mean, that's kind of been one of their better offensive plays, you know, at times here throughout the course of the season, is Leonard running. But then also, you would certainly expect at least a few sacks to come into the equation.
Yeah, season high 18 rush attempts against Penn State. Some of those were sacks, as you pointed out. Had 14 against Georgia. That was also a season high. So, once again, you know, these books are recognizing the magnitude of this game. And when you look at just basic counting stats, Jadarian Price over 23.5, Adam, would be an easy over. He's gone over it in, what, 11 of 14 games. However, we saw him struggle against Penn State. And in a game like this, I would imagine Notre Dame would quickly go away from someone like Jadarian Price if they needed to, if he continues kind of the pitter-pattering in the backfield. And Riley Leonard, over under 14.5 rush attempts. He's only eclipsed that once, but when did he do it? It was in the last game against Penn State. So it is kind of funny to look at some of these player prop numbers and how they are priced heading into this national championship game. So right now, point spread sitting 8.5. We did see a little bit of money come in on Notre Dame. I was talking to one odds maker in town, and he said early this week that one of his most respected accounts took 9.5 with Notre Dame. I don't anticipate this to get down anywhere under 7. I think 7.5, probably the lowest we get. But I would imagine we get some Ohio State money coming back into the market. Total sits at 46.5. We'll get into some of the other unique markets, but let's take a quick break, Adam. When we come back, Ohio State's offense against this Notre Dame defense. What type of success should we expect from Ohio State against the Irish defense on Monday night? It's the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Just a reminder, big week here at VSiN as we are coming back to Sirius XM. We've got our own dedicated channel, so you will hear all of our fine shows. You know, my two favorite shows, you know, there's so many good ones, Adam, but I would say VSiN Primetime, which airs 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and then the tailgate show on Saturday. I mean, it's hard to decipher. It's like picking your favorite child, but those would probably be my two top shows on this network.
Remind me again, Tim, which shows do you host?
the Primetime and the Tailgate Show.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, look, you do a fine job over at the network, a really good job, very engaging and entertaining. And I'm sure you will be on Monday. As you're
I'll be on there, baby.
With the game going on.
Just a PSA for all of you and all of our new listeners. And thanks, by the way, to all of you guys who have chimed in throughout the college football season. The numbers have been amazing, and it's pretty humbling to all of us to hear it and see it. I did have a guy in the 300 level of the Orange Bowl as I was wrapping up, washing my hands, because that is what you were supposed to do, leaving the restrooms. And I look at him, and he just looks at me and goes, "Are you Tim Murray?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Big fan." I was like, "Okay, cool. All right, thank you." And then
to be fair, you do stand out in a crowd. What are you, 6'7"?
Yeah, 6'6", and wearing Notre Dame garb with I had a hat on, so I guess you couldn't tell I was a ginger. But
did you give our mutual pal Jared Smith some shit after the game?
You know, I didn't. He was there. He was
a better man than I.
We enjoyed the Centurion Lounge together on Wednesday evening there at McCarran or Harris Harry Reid, whatever it's called these days. Had a couple. I enjoyed a little red wine so I could sleep a little bit on my red eye to Fort Lauderdale, and he was taking a red eye to Miami. After that, we did not see each other. We did not cross paths. Apparently, he had tickets in the Notre Dame student section.
The Centurion Lounge at LAS is nice.
Very nice.
I'm a priority pass guy myself, but I gotten into the Centurion Lounge a couple of times thanks to some buddies I was traveling with. Good time.
Best investment I've ever made. But yes, I will be on the air live during the national championship. So if you want that side screen experience and the pain.
Who are you rooting for, by the way?
I haven't decided yet. It's gonna be a tough choice there. But yes, channel 158, right, Adam? We're coming back on
yes,
XM.
Sir. Yes, sir. And you know, our good buddies Patrick Maher and Dustin Sweetelson already with a show VSiN Live on Mad Dog Radio. So you know, if you can't wait until Friday to hear VSiN, you know, go ahead get set up for Sirius that you know your way around and check out Patrick and Dustin on VSiN Live on Mad Dog Radio too.
So I think it's fair to say I haven't gotten to the window yet on a team total under. I do think that would be a way that I would potentially look to attack this game from a Notre Dame standpoint and maybe hope for a 19-17 Mitch Jeter game-winning field goal as time expired. But I do think the regular success is going to be a challenge for the Irish when it comes to offensively. But defensively, that's been their calling card this year. They have been very strong defensively. However, it is worth noting that Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen both had a lot of success against the Irish on the ground. And I mentioned that drive at the end of the first half, Adam, where it really felt like bully ball and Notre Dame was kind of getting a taste of their own medicine, which was, we're going to run it down your throat. And at that point, when it went 10-0, I didn't really see how Notre Dame could come back and win the game. Obviously, they ultimately did. So I was talking to Parker Fleming about this yesterday, because you look at Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, and their rushing prop, I believe, is 57.5, is that what I see it right now at FanDuel. I think Ohio State can have success running the football, but the question is, Adam, do they want to, right? Because the last time they relied on the run game and ran it between the tackles, it didn't go all that well against Michigan. Now, Michigan has a superior defensive line to Notre Dame, especially with Riley Mills being done for the year, Notre Dame's best interior defensive lineman. What do you expect from the run game? Before we get to the pass game, Judkins and Henderson, 57.5, both sitting there. What do you expect from these two on Monday night?
Yeah, I think they're going to want to run the football in this game. So, you know, Notre Dame's pass defense is elite. I mean, it's number one in the country in drop back EPA per play. So as much as you like the idea of Igbuka and Smith and Tate in virtually every game, I do think that they have a better chance of running the football with good success in this game. Now, also, you've got, and you alluded to this earlier in the show, you've got Lou Holtz saying that Notre Dame's a tougher team than Ohio State from a year and a half ago. And that's still going to live in Ryan Day's head, because everything seems to live in Ryan Day's head. So I think that they are going to want to run the football. And the question is, you know, will they have a good amount of success with it? I do think that this might be the time, and I've kind of been waiting for this throughout the course of the season. I mean, I realize that Ohio State has just elite level dudes at wide receiver, but let's not forget here that, I mean, Will Howard's a guy who ran for over 4 yards a carry at Kansas State last year, had a big 70 yard scamper. He's had an 80 yard run in his career as well, ran for nearly 6 yards a carry in 21, nearly 5 yards a carry in 20. Like, he is an effective runner, and Ohio State really hasn't used that a whole lot throughout the course of the season, due in large part to the fact that Devin Brown is the backup quarterback and he's just not very good. But I think this is the game where you could kind of see maybe a little bit more Will Howard, maybe some read option looks with him and Henderson. Judkins, they're just going to let run between the tackles like the bowling ball that he is. But I could see a little bit of an option look from Ohio State here in this one. And that's something that I think they could find success with.
You know, it's funny. I actually talked about this to Parker yesterday, which was the one prop that initially jumped out to me from a rushing standpoint. It wasn't Riley Leonard, because I get worried about sacks and the possibility of late in the game. Is he dropping back more? Is Ohio State pinning their ears back? Whatever. The Jadarian Price under is certainly something that I'm interested in. I'm going to look around and see what the best price is for Jadarian Price to go under his rushing prop. But I think Will Howard over 11.5, which is the current number at FanDuel. Look, you saw him break one and then get the turf monster against Texas. And I know the numbers weren't overwhelming against Texas, but Texas, once again, and this isn't to denigrate Notre Dame's defensive line, they've got good linebackers, but I have concerns about the sustained past rush there for the Irish with a couple of injuries that they've dealt with. I think you could see Will Howard, you know, if they run that read option and Notre Dame sells out on Henderson or Judkins, he might have some running lanes. And I agree with you. I think he is a pretty athletic dude. I think over 11.5 rushing yards for Will Howard is probably going to be a bet that I put into pocket here.
Well, and also, I mean, I could be dead wrong on this, right? I mean, I could be dead wrong on everything. I don't really foresee Notre Dame generating a ton of pressure, right? I mean, all the talk coming into the college football playoff was about Ohio State's offensive line issues, right? And the injury to McLaughlin and some of the other injuries that they've had, all the shuffling, all these different types of things. Howard's been sacked twice in three playoff games, and it's been a lot of easy pitch and catch for this team. Now, I do think Notre Dame is the best defense that they've played, you know, certainly against the pass. But, I mean, it's not like Howard was sacked a ton throughout the course of the season here, and especially not late in the year after they, you know, kind of were making some adjustments on the fly and all of that. So I don't think we really run into a situation where you worry too much about sack yardage coming into play with that prop.
So let's look at the wide receivers. You mentioned it. Notre Dame, from a secondary standpoint, is very strong. Christian Gray is someone who was targeted and picked on a bit in the USC game. Then he ends up getting the 99-yard or 100-yard, whatever it was, pick six late in that one to kind of salt it away. He got picked on the big throw from Georgia, but he was very good against Penn State. Now, comparing Penn State's wide receivers to Ohio State's wide receivers is like comparing the varsity team to the freshman team. You know, it's like they're in different worlds. The wide receivers that Ohio State trots out there versus the wide receivers that Penn State has out there. I'm not including Tyler Warren. He's a tight end and he's awesome. Jeremiah Smith held to one catch for three yards, but took so much attention from the defense that Egbuka had a pretty good day. Carnell Tate had a pretty solid day. G. Scott went over his receiving props. So looking at the receiving props for Ohio State, Smith is 80.5. Egbuka is 55.5. By the way, Emeka Egbuka, I believe in both games against Notre Dame, has had his fair share of success. I know against Notre Dame a year ago, he was targeted quite often because Marvin Harrison Jr. was actually taken away by Benjamin Morrison a year ago. But Emeka Egbuka last year in South Bend, Adam, 7 catches, 96 yards. And then in the season opener in 2022, he had 90 yards receiving on 9 catches. So Emeka Egbuka has actually been very strong against the Irish the last 2 years, his over under 55.5. And then Cardinal Tate, I thought he played really well against Texas, over under 40.5. When you look at what Ohio State has to offer from a pass catching standpoint, who in your eyes has a big day?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a Emeka Egbuka. I just, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, Jeremiah Smith takes up so much time, so much energy, right? And he's a guy that I think you have to pay a lot more attention to because he's the home run hitter, right? You know, a lot of these teams that wind up having really good defenses, you know, they're just looking to avoid the big play, right? You think about the NFL, you think about how passing numbers were, you know, really down, especially early on in the season, because you're getting a lot of these too high safety looks, you kind of bend but don't break, all these different types of things, right? You don't want to get burned by Jeremiah Smith having the 40, 50 yard reception, stuff like that. A kid who averaged over 17 yards a catch. You're going to tolerate Emeka Egbuka getting 6, 7, 8 yards a catch, something like that, right? 12.6 yards per catch for him, below Tate, who had 14, and well below Smith, who I just mentioned. So Egbuka is more of a volume guy, right? Runs a lot of routes out of the slot, you know, that possession guy. Like I talked about with Leonard, kind of looking to get those second and longs down to third and manageables, third and short, stuff like that. I think you see Ohio State do that with Egbuka in this game. I think he will be the primary target. I think you will use Jeremiah Smith as a decoy. If you can break a big play with Smith, some kind of crossing route over the defense, something like that, I think they will look for that. I think they'll run, you know, more of those, you know, mesh types of concepts here with Smith to try to get him free from having three guys on the same side of the field as him. But I think that it will be Egbuka who's the guy who really shines in a game like this. And by the way, not for nothing, he's going to be a hell of an NFL player too, because not only does he have a lot in the route tree and very sure hands, he's one of the best run blocking wide receivers I've seen at Ohio State. So that kid's going to be a really, really valuable player at the next level. And I think a really valuable player in this game too.
46.5. The total. Adam has played some under. The first half under is certainly something I'm interested in. Parker Fleming, by the way, yesterday, go back and listen to that. His numbers didn't really have an edge one way or the other, but he did like Ohio State in the opening half. So looking at Notre Dame and how they've played so far in the college football playoff, the first halves, they were up 17-3 against Indiana, 13-3 against Georgia. But remember, they forced the fumble.
6-3.
Right. It was 6-3 essentially. And then it was 10-3 against Penn State. So we've seen some pretty low scoring first halves. Notre Dame did not score a touchdown in the last two games outside of the, you know, touchdown pass to Bo Collins with like 12 seconds to go. So first half under 23.5. If you want to pay some juice, Notre Dame does have a pretty good kicker. All of a sudden, he was terrible from October through all of November. And now Mitch Jeter has been phenomenal in these last two games for the Irish. Obviously it's indoors, fast track down there in Atlanta, but I think under 23.5 might be a play for me. I'll solidify all of these, but it's funny because talking these out, a couple of plays that kind of catch my eye, the Will Howard over rushing prop, the under on a knee on a Jadarian Price rushing prop, and you know, the Riley Leonard over 14.5, hat tip to Jeff Schwartz. I think it's an interesting one, even though he's only eclipsed it once. It does feel like they're going to rely on Riley Leonard quite a bit, using his legs here in this game. Mitchell Evans to catch a couple passes, I think, is certainly one that I look at. So a lot of different options, which is nice for the national championship. Adam, for you, how are we looking to attack this game?
Yeah, like I said, under for me, if I see something in game to where Notre Dame is finding success in space with a screen game, something like that, you know, maybe look for a position to either, you know, set up a middle if maybe it's starting a little bit slow, or, you know, potentially buy off of that position if it looks like, because the Buckeyes can get a little bit lost in space at the corner position with tackling. So that's a bit of a worry for me. So that is something I'm going to look at a little bit more here in terms of, you know, maybe looking at the Williams over receiving yards, you know, Neas Williams or something like that. I will say that something I just looked at here that's available at FanDuel, Quinshon Judkins over 12.5 rushing yards in the first quarter. If this is going to be a game where Chip Kelly wants to run between the tackles, right? As is kind of the expectation that you and I have talked about here a little bit, in that probably easier to run on Notre Dame than it is to throw on Notre Dame in a lot of respects.
Sure.
Judkins will be that guy, right? Judkins is there between the tackles back. That dude, I'm so impressed by his running style for not really being that big of a running back. Like, that dude just keeps going, and man, is he really good at falling forward. And Judkins is a guy that, I mean, he's got 51 more carries than Travion Henderson. He's 7 yards behind him because Henderson is the outside the tackles type of guy, the stretch runs, the toss plays, stuff like that. But if they feel, and they have every reason in the world to be confident in their offensive line, even though their rush numbers weren't great against Texas, I mean, this rush, you know, this offensive line's played really, really well here. I think Judkins will be that guy. So I think if that is the message that Ryan Day wants to send early, history would tell us that it is, between the Lou Holtz comments, the Michigan games, all of that. I think you see a lot of Judkins early. So like over 12 and a half first quarter rushing yards for him.
Just quickly taking a look at injury wise for Notre Dame, they will be without their left tackle, Anthony Knapp, who, remember, stepped into duty prior to the Texas A&M game because Charles Jagasaw, their expected starting left tackle, got hurt. He tore his pec. Well, ironically enough, Jagasaw actually stepped in for Rocco Spindler at right guard during the Penn State game, and I thought played pretty well. And now the current depth chart says it's either Jagasaw or Tosh Baker. So it could come full circle. This season has been so long, Adam, that a guy that was lost for the year, in air quotes, due to an injury, is now maybe able to start at the position he was supposed to start at all year long, but it would be his first start of the season at left tackle. So Notre Dame dealing with injuries. Every team's dealing with injuries. You mentioned Ohio State dealing with their fair share of injuries. So, you know, it's a long-ass season, man. Both these teams about to play their 16th game of the year. And I'll wrap on this, and we have plenty more of podcasts that come breaking this game down. I'm sure, Adam, you're going to write about it for VSiN.com. This proves to me, and I think it should prove to everyone, this is why we needed the 12-team playoff. And you could say, if you want to be the detractor, hey, you got to be buttoned up each and every week. Look, teams are going to mess up. Teams need a mulligan. And Notre Dame needed to win out after losing to Northern Illinois. They did. Ohio State, because they lost to Michigan, didn't have a chance at a bye. So they had to host Tennessee. They had to play Oregon again. They had to play Texas. I mean, their side of the bracket was loaded. They won and covered all of those games. Two teams, Adam, that would not have made the 14 playoff are playing in the national championship. Is it always going to be this way? Of course not. Next year, we very well could see teams who get those byes end up playing for the national championship. But it is ironic that the year that we expand, we end up getting the number 5 and number 6 team in the final college football playoff rankings going head to head in the national championship.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, obviously there needs to be some tweaks to the way that things kind of play
out
here.
Perfect. I agree.
I mean, Penn State, I realize Penn State lost to Notre Dame, but I mean, they had a very easy path in getting to that game, you know, being the 6th seed. So, you know, there are definitely some things that need to change in terms of the way that, you know, the rankings are done and all of that. But yeah, I mean, to your point, right? I mean, Ohio State was favored throughout most of the season, you know, throughout a good portion of the season to win the national championship, would have been a favorite in Indianapolis against Oregon, wound up being a favorite against Oregon. You know, this is the team that I think a lot of people had power rated as number one or the team that should win it all. And to your point, they wouldn't have even been in the playoff in the old format. So, yeah, I definitely like expansion. I don't want to go any farther than this because then you really start to water down the field, I think. But, I mean, it's been a success. And like, I'll be honest with you, win or lose, and obviously they want to win here, man, what a financial windfall for Notre Dame. They don't have to share any of this money with anybody. You talk about what they can do from an NIL standpoint going forward, thanks to this run made possible by the expanded playoff. I mean, just fantastic for your program.
Yeah, it is good. Join a damn conference. I mean, if anything.
Why?
If anything, This proves that they should not join a conference and they should dig their heels even in further. Okay, you have to play a home game in the first round, which, by the way, might go away in the coming years, not because Notre Dame messed anything up, but because Boise State and Arizona State got first round byes, and you know, Penn State and Ohio State and all these other schools had to play in the opening round. So yeah, it's been a hell of a run. You know, look, this is very different from 2012 when they got curb stomped by Alabama in the national championship, 2018 when they got blown out by Clemson, and also back in 2020 when they got blown out by Alabama. So they've proved their worth. If they win, if they lose, we'll see what happens. They're an underdog for a reason. By the way, Marcus Freeman, funny how it works. Year three as a head coach of Notre Dame. Year three, he will be facing his alma mater in a game. Opened up the 2022 season at Ohio State. Hosted Ohio State last year in the infamous 10 men on the field touchdown at the end of the game. And now here in the national championship. He is, Marcus Freeman, 5-1-1 as an underdog as the head coach of Notre Dame against the spread. 2-0 ATS this year. Last year, they were only an underdog in one game. That was against Ohio State, which was a push at 3, and then 3-1 ATS in his first year. Can't wait for it. We'll have plenty of more content obviously coming. Adam, I imagine you'll have written content on the website before this puppy kicks off on Monday.
Yeah, the game preview is already out, and I will be asking VSiN hosts. You'll get that email in your inbox today, Tim. I'll be asking VSiN hosts to give us some write-ups so I can have a big article with that over at VSiN.com in advance of the game, along with the usual suspects who've been putting out their college football plays, Wes Reynolds, Matt Eumanns, Dave Tooley, Steve Mackinnon. All them will weigh in, but also going to have the best bets in writing from our VSiN hosts as well.
You will hear from Wes and Matt later this week. We are going to go on the beat. Also later this week, Pete Sampson going to jump on, Notre Dame's beat reporter, and I think my buddy Andrew Gillis from Cleveland.com. Two people who will be boots on the ground in Atlanta will join the podcast a little bit later on. All right, for Adam Burke, I'm Tim Murray. Follow Adam on social media at Skating Tripods, and of course, read all of his work over at VSiN.com. I'm at one Tim Murray. Thanks to Ryan Hunter, our producer, doing a great job as always. Thanks to all of you. More content coming later this week as we get you ready for Notre Dame and Ohio State in the national championship down in Atlanta. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.